Parshas Vayetze. I was recently at a simcha with my parents. Actually flew to Eretz Yisrael for bar mitzvah, and on Shabbos day my family was invited to the suda, and the father of the bar mitzvah got up. And a bar mitzvah is a very exciting moment. I never had one. I never had a bar mitzvah for my son yet, but it's a very, very moving time, very emotional time, and the father wants to certainly impart a very, very powerful message to his son. Father gets up, big crowd of people there in the room, and he says to his son, his father's involved in business, I think he's in some type of, I don't know exactly what he does. He says to his son, the most important message that I want to impart with you, to you, on your mitzvah, is that you be an honest, upright, erlich yid. I was sitting there, and I was saying to myself, you know, first of all, it's a little bit far off. I mean, like, it's a little bit premature. He's young. He's 13. He hasn't seen the world yet. And that's the most important message that a father wants to impress upon his son in his bar mitzvah. And I thought about it more. And I really thought to myself that I'm not even sure there's any better message that a father could or should impart to his son at his bar mitzvah and perhaps throughout his entire life. Let's try to explain through this parsha. We know that each one of the Avos had their midah. Avram is known for his chesed. Yitzchak is known for his, a little trickier, maybe gevura, good. And Yaakov has the midah of
emes.
The pasuk says, titein emes li Yaakov. Now if you look a little bit into Yaakov's life, and a big part of his life takes place in this week's parasha, parasha Vayetze, we'll see how much, just how much, the midah of emes comes to the fore in Yaakov's life. Perhaps more than Avram's chesed, perhaps more than Yitzchak's gevura. The midah of emes that Yaakov Avinu portrays and displays in this parasha and throughout his entire life is an incredible lesson in and of itself for us all to learn. We'll start for a second in last week's parasha. How does Yaakov introduce to the scene? Yaakov ish, what's he called? Yaakov ish?
Tum.
What does tum mean? Esav is yodet tzai, yisodet. Yaakov is ish tum. Says Rashi, three words. A little bit more, but I'll pick three out of them. Says Rashi, what does tum mean? Tum means piv velibo shavin. It means he is straight. It means his mouth and his heart are in the same place. You don't hear one thing from his mouth and something else from his heart. Yaakov Avinu is described, his essence. Yaakov ish tum, ki libo kein piv. What's Yaakov's biggest nisayon in his life? What's the biggest challenge Yaakov has in his life? Probably will say what happened last week. The parsha told us what happened. He's forced to go ahead and trick his father. And how does Yaakov feel when he's going to Yitzchak dressed up as Esav? So the Torah describes. You know what happens? You know what he says? Vayelech, vayikach, vayovelimo, vay. Whoa. Why do I have to do this? This is so antithetical to who I am, to what I'm all about. I'm now going to go lie to my father to get a bracha. And the Medrash comments, vai, he was wailing, sobbing to himself. How is it possible? I'm going to go ahead now and lie to my father. And let's come to our parasha a little bit now. In our parasha, after his dream, Yaakov goes out and he sees a well. And the Torah describes, everyone's coming to drink water from the well. And what happens? He says to the shepherds, "Hey, Ayomer Len, Achai, my brothers, may I not tell where you're from?" He says to them, off the bat, "Guys, what are you doing? Why are you at the well so early? Lo eis heyaseif hamikneh." He never met them. He never saw them in his life. What bothers him? Rashi explains on the spot. You know what bothers Yaakov? What bothers him is your workers. What are you throwing in a towel at 12 o'clock? You're done? That's it? You're hiring workers to work the sheep, to graze them in the field, and now it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're finished? There's plenty of time. Go back and graze. He doesn't know them. But it's MS. And Yaakov is MS. And Yaakov can't stand when anything other than MS is taking place. And let's move on a little bit more in our parasha. We'll try to hammer this idea home. Yaakov's tricked. He has one of the most difficult shveres in the history of history. What's a shver? Shver is a father-in-law. What else does shver mean in Yiddish? It means difficult. Some people say that there's a reason why those two things come in tandem, because they're really one and the same. I personally say that my shver is the exception to the rule. My shver is not shver one bit. My shver is delicious and wonderful. But anyway, Yaakov is challenged with the most difficult shver. What kind of shver? He's tricking him. His own daughter-in-law, his own daughter can't give him straight. First comes Leah. Yaakov has to work. And it says in the parsha, as soon as Yaakov realizes that he didn't marry Rachel, he wants to marry Rachel, I'll work for you 7 more years. Evadcha od sheva shanim. For your daughter Rachel. Says Rashi on the spot. What happened in these 7 years? Now, I don't know about you guys, but if it was me, I know how it would have worked. I would have come a little bit late, or maybe a lot of it late, and I would have left a lot of it early, because I don't have to be working now. I paid my time. This guy's a crook. I worked for Rachel. He gave me Leah, and now I'm going to work for the same crook again, like I did last time, and I'm going to put my all into it. I'm going to give it my effort. Have you lost your mind? And says Rashi on the spot. He worked. Od sheva shanim acheiro, says Rashi. Let's be makish. What's makish? Let's make a hekish. Let's compare the first 7 years, the second 7 years to the first 7 years. Just like the first 7 years were totally, totally complete without skipping a beat, so too the last 7 years. Because why? Because Yaakov is Nishat Emes. And if I have to work for something, I'm not working half-heartedly. I'm not coming late and leaving early. I'm working like I should work. One more example. 2 more examples in the parsha. Quick ones. Okay, fine. 20 years are up. He's living in a crook's house for 20 years. So what does he do? He calls in later in the parsha. He calls in his wives, Rachel and Leah. And where does he call them? Who calls? He calls them to the field. El Asadeh. Now why does he call them to the field? So you would have said he calls them. Why? Because he doesn't want Lavan to hear. Explain many of them first, but it's not the Pshat. You know why he called them to the field? Because he's working. But I'm going to stop working to go talk to my wife? Now, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'll talk to myself right now, okay? I have a job. My job is to teach in Yeshiva Torah Shraga. I'm here from 9 o'clock a.m. till 6, from 9:15 a.m. till 6 p.m. My wife would call me in the middle of the day. I have to speak to you. Am I allowed to answer the phone?
Yes.
Don't answer that question. Yes? No? Well, I don't know. Would Yaakov Avinu have answered that phone call? Probably not. He had to go ahead and bring his wives out to the field, because I'm not going to stop work. I'm a hiring worker. I'm going to leave my job now and go take care of my own personal business? No way. The last part of the parsha, when Lavan chases after Yaakov, Yaakov, what are you doing? You stole my gods. Says Yaakov to Lavan, are you out of your mind? And by David quoted this in the Shmuz last week, Ha'isi bayom achalani korech v'chorev v'kerech balayla. Thank you. Our mitzvah parsha. Good. And you're right also. I never slept. Atidash Nasime and I'm working for you for 20 years. What do you want from my life? I both say Yaakov had a special work ethic. Yaakov was Ish Emes. So much so the Rambam writes, a Rambam, an amazing Rambam. The Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah, in the middle of nowhere, in Hilchos Tzchiras, the very end, the last halacha in the laws of work, says the Rambam, V'chein chayav la'avo b'chol kocho. A person has to treat his job and work it with all of his strength. Why? Shara Yaakov Hatzadik. Amazing expression. I don't know if anybody else in the entire Rambam is called Hatzadik. Yaakov the Tzadik. Omar, he said, Ki b'chol kochi avadati es avichem. And that's why he got a great reward. Abu Isa, Yaakov's MS permeates every single story that takes place in the Parsha and throughout the Parshios of Yaakov Avinu. If you look in next week's Parshios, you'll see MS after MS after MS. Tidin MS to Yaakov is an amazing theme which takes place in Yaakov's life. Apostle, I want to ask a simple question, or two. Yaakov had a shver. He was being tricked. Am I supposed to be taken advantage of in life? Am I supposed to just let people step all over me? Just all for the sake of MS? My boss is picking on me. My boss is treating me in an unfair way. I just go ahead with my own business? Question number one. Question number two, where did you get this MS from? Where did Yaakov have this midah from? I think one answer, fellas, answers the other. Says the Torah, Yaakov ish tam, what's next towards? Yoshev all in. What was he doing? How did he spend his days, his first 77 years of his life? Yaakov ish tam yosheva alim. In fact, he cries in the parsha when he sees Rachel because he wishes he could have married her earlier. He was learning his entire life. 77 years. Abu said, what characterizes our Torah? Ashanasan lanu toras emes. Torah is a Torah of truth. Every word of Torah is emes. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. And therefore Yaakov, who was so engrossed in Torah his whole life, is emes, is Torah, which is emes. How can I live a life that doesn't reflect the emes that the Torah is full of from beginning to end? Am I supposed to go ahead and just be stepped down? The answer is no. But I'm supposed to live a life of emes. I'm supposed to live a life that reflects the ideals and the goals and the dreams and everything in the Torah, which is all emes from beginning to end. I want to share with you some practical anecdotes and ideas about emes. I hope that they'll be able to stick with us for the rest of our lives. The Chazon Ish, one of the great giants from Eretz Yisrael, had a minyan in his house for mincha towards the end of his life. He had a brother-in-law who used to come join the minyan. The minyan was 12:45. And they were waiting, believe it or not, to have a minyan in the Chazon Ish's house. I can't imagine how they were waiting. I imagine if it was nowadays, they would have thousands of people at this minyan. But they were waiting for a minyan one day in Bnei Brak. It wasn't in the days like nowadays where Bnei Brak is full of with tons of Jews. It wasn't like that. They're waiting for a minyan. 12:45 comes, 12:46 comes, 12:47 comes. And the minyan rolls in. And his brother-in-law, Rav Graneman, Rav Shmuel Graneman, turns to his brother-in-law and says, Chazon Ish, I have a question. I have a meeting. I have an appointment at 1 o'clock. Should I stay now for the minyan and be late for my appointment? Or should I leave now and there won't be a minyan in the shul? Said the Chazon Ish. Like we would say in our shir. He probably didn't say it like this. But he said, take a hike, Mike. Or he said, much nicer, what's the shaila? How could you be late for your appointment? That's not MS. There's no minyan in the shir. I mean, maybe the person will understand. But the answer is, a person that's MS dick lives by his word. 1 o'clock is 1 o'clock. It's not 1:05 and it's not 1:10. Because MS is MS. But there's no minyan. Okay, so there's no minyan. But MS is MS. And I have to live my life by MS. I want to share with you an amazing maisa. An incredible maisa. Two more maisa I'm going to share with you. And then one last thought. And then we'll wrap it up. All before Mincha, Mir Tashem. This maisa took place, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. 20 years ago. Of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who lived in Muncie at the end of his life, was given a gift by his shir, a beautiful silver becher. Gevaldik. A silver becher. He gave a shir to some balabatim. They wanted to thank him for the shir. They gave him a becher. One day, one of the people from the shir is walking in the street, and the shir of Yaakov, holding the becher, clearly the becher that they bought him, walking into a pawn shop. Now, if the eyebrows don't flare, this guy is absolutely flabbergasted. Is it possible? From the Gedolei Hador? And he's going in with the becher that we bought him to a pawn shop? How can that be? And he couldn't contain himself. And a few weeks later, he approaches Rebbe and says, Rebbe, ma zeh? How can it be? What is going on? A pawn shop? And Yaakov turns to him and he said to his disciple and said, it's very simple. I don't even understand the question. The law is that if you get a gift over a certain amount of value, you have to declare it for taxes. I wanted to know how much it was worth so I could declare it for my taxes. Rabosai, I'm not going to ask everyone in this room how meticulous we are to go ahead and give the IRS or the Israeli government. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not looking around the room. My eyes are closed. But the answer is no one's looking to pay more taxes. No one's looking to be more on the books. We're looking for loopholes constantly to get out of taxes. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who's Yaakov, named after the original Yaakov, Titin Emes LeYaakov, that's the name of the Sefer, Emes LeYaakov. But it's not Emes. Emes is that there's a rule, I pay the rule, I pay the tax, that's the rule. Emes. Abosai, one last anecdote and one last story. This story happened in Eretz Yisrael, a famous, beautiful story. But it's Kedai Chazer. It happened on a street in Yerushalayim called Sorotskin, in a neighborhood Panim Eros in the neighborhood called Unsdorf or Matesdorf. And what happened was there was a kid that got onto a bus. And he got onto the bus, and there was tons of people getting on the bus at the same time, like you may have witnessed sometimes in your lifetime. And the bus driver was trying to move it along really quick. And he was clicking kids' cards, bus tickets. And the kid stands there and says to the bus driver, "Click my ticket." And the bus driver said, "I did, move to the back." And the kid, who knew that the bus driver did not do it, stood there and said, "Click my ticket." And the bus driver said, "Kid, I told you already, get to the back. And he was pushing him along to get to the back of the bus. The bus driver drives along a little bit, and he looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees the kid crying on the floor, in tears, bitter tears. And he stops the bus, goes back to the kid, and says, what's wrong? He goes, "I don't get it. Ani lo yachol. Ze gneva. How can I take a free ride? You say you punched my ticket, you didn't punch my ticket. How can I live my life? Not MS stick, a little year old, 6-7 year old kid." My crone tells this story. MS, the MS in that house. I don't want to look around the room again, my eyes are closed. There's a rule in this city called a Kartis Noah. What's a Kartis Noah? If you're under 18.
No, it's 18. It's
oh, so it's Lomdus. If you're under 18.
No. We asked the bus driver.
Good. If you're under 18, so you're free. So how many times are we looking to. But my Hebrew birthday, I'm not 19 yet, my Hebrew birthday, so I'm still legit. We're looking for a few shekels to try to undercut the system. But that's not MS, fellas. It may even be quote unquote on the books, okay. But people that are MS people are not looking for ways to cut the system and undercut the system and circumvent the system. But they're looking to be Yashav, to be upright, Abosai. This Midah of Yaakov of MS is such a powerful, important Midah. It's a midah that will allow us to have relationships, real relationships. Because if we're honest and we let people into our lives properly, then we'll be able to have a real relationship with them. But if you're not honest, you can't have a relationship because you're putting on one show and the reality is something totally different. And so that's the message of Yaakov. When we read these parashios, we learn the parashios of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Atzadik. What should be going on in our mind, what should be thinking about is how do we ourselves become more erlich? Like this father got up at Bar Mitzvah and said to his son, "All I want from you is to be an Erlich Jew, to be an honest Jew, to be an upright Jew." If we all zochet to be in that category, we'll be doing just fine in life. We should all be zochet to live lives that reflect the MS that we learn from Yaakov Avinu. Have a great Shabbos, friends.